grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a great Baptist theologian, J. Vernon McGee, who had a radio program in the South, and he also penned an entire commentary on the Bible. But he made a statement a few years ago that if I want to build a church, I'll preach from the Gospel of John. If I want to destroy a church, I'll preach from Romans. Guess what my sermon's on today? Romans. Yeah, so what do you do if what you want to preach on is from there? Well, you do it. It's in the Bible. That's a good question. Folks, you know, what's going on in our country is really bothering. And I know it's bothering you, too. Because it's almost like it's not our country anymore, is it? Well, let's take a look at what's going on. Some members of the police are out of control. And I think people are rightfully upset about it, including the police. As Peggy's dad said, and Peggy's quoted, nobody hates a bad cop worse than a good cop. People are destroying and looting businesses in large cities. And the thing that's happening is many times these businesses are minority owned and they're destroying things in their own neighborhood. Does that make any sense to you? Doesn't to me either. They're destroying the people who've tried to make a better life for themselves and for their people. Look what went on in Seattle. A lot of people in one neighborhood decided they would secede from the country and blocked it off and wouldn't let anybody in. I heard one commentator, I thought it was great, he says, all right, let them do it. Cut off their electricity, water, food, things, and let them negotiate bringing it in. Because, you know, it's just not something, well, you've got to give us this. No, we don't. Not if you're doing this. So then the police go in and finally break it up this week, and when they do, people are complaining that they didn't do it right. You know, it's one of those, excuse the French, but damned if you do and damned if you don't. And the thing that really concerns me, a lot of this looting, destruction, and things that are going on are being done by 20-somethings, that generation. Well, they don't understand our form of government. They don't understand their rights and responsibilities as American citizens because they've never been taught. You know, all of us went through government in school, citizenship, that kind of thing. It's not taught anymore. In fact, when I was teaching in the school district, the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. But, folks, how do you know what you're supposed to do if nobody ever tells you? You know, one of the things they did at the seminary, they handed out a copy of the Constitution to us on the first day every year. Why? Because most of the people hadn't read it. And that is a sad commentary on American education. Well, 244 years ago, some people became upset on this continent because they were fed up with the government 2,000 miles away that were trying to oppress them. And so they had a meeting in Philadelphia. And on July 2nd, 1776, they approved a document that was something new in the rights of people in the world. How many of you knew that that vote was taken on the 2nd of July? Okay, why is it the 4th of July? Because they gave them 2 days to make the copies and make it official. But that vote actually came on the 2nd. By the way, too, did you know one of the other things, this is just an aside, in that same Congress, they had a vote to decide whether the language of the United States should be English or German. They were sort of equal speakers. Guess how, of course, we're speaking English, so it passed. Guess how many votes it won by?
One.
That's how close it was. So you don't think your vote counts? You better believe it counts. Well, I'd like to share the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence because I think it's fitting for our subject. And like I said, there's an introductory sentence, and then this is the second one in it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's the second sentence. the Declaration of Independence. So where does it state that looting, destruction, and murder, I mean, did you know that there's probably 40 or 50 policemen that have been killed with the rioting? Did you hear the news bring that up? Well, they're not important. So since when are looting, destruction, and murder are acceptable responses to disagreeing with the Constitutional Republic? It doesn't. But why does it come to this? Well, folks, like I said, we're going to preach from Romans today, because I think Paul dealt with the same thing 2,000 years ago. All right. You might want to look at the reading with me. It's verse 14:15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Does that sound like it could apply to what's going on in our country right now? I think so too. Do you think that young adults, the 20-somethings I mentioned who are acting this way, are rational members of society, or are they irrational? In a society, and this is human behavior, there's always a pendulum that goes back and forth. Sometimes it's classical thought, sometimes it's romantic thought. All right, classical thought, okay? I think, therefore I am. Romantic thought is, I feel, therefore I am. If you look at the 50s, World War II. I think we were very strongly, and I think, therefore I am. Until we got into the 60s and the Flower Child movement. Very strongly, I feel, therefore I am. I think when Reagan was president, you know, we started to see that pendulum coming back. But when you are geared by emotions rather than by rational thought, there's good and there's bad. Just like rational thought can be good too and bad. But what happens is, and I like, that's what I think is one of the strongest parts of our country, is we want to be somewhere in the middle. All right, stop and think about that. If we're too far right or if we're too far left, it's not good for the country. So what we want to do is we want to be in the middle. Okay? So people can live with other people. And as Paul says, do what I want. So I think Paul was dealing with the same situation 2,000 years ago. Now, let's go to verse 16 and look what comes next. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. All right, law says you got to do this. Well, I want to do this. Law says you got to do that. Well, I do what I don't want to do, but I'm agreeing with the law, so I'll do it. Make sense? That it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Remember Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it? Yep. Is it true? Yeah, it's true. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. We're born into sin. Bible tells us we're born into sin. Without a direction, we're going to do sin. Is that what we see going on in our country? So what's going on is led by sin. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Jeez. I want to stay in that guy. But that peach pie looks so good. Darn. See what I'm getting at? I mean, that's simple. But how many times we're on the highway? Well, let's see, 65. Well, there's no cops around, so you put it up to 75. And then somebody passes you doing 90. Okay? And it's one of those things, laws are suggestions, right? Is the law of God a suggestion? Ooh, now we're really looking at it, aren't we? For I do not do the good I want. do the good that I want to do. But the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing it. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. Did Paul know human behavior? Was Paul dealing with the same things we're dealing with today? I think so. I think this is a fantastic explanation of what's going on in our country right now. Well, so what is causing this? Sin, death, and the power of the devil. How many of you don't believe in the devil? Think about that for a second. I've had people argue with me. Look what's going on in the country. Is the devil alive and well? Don't you think he's doing this right now? Oh, boy, look what's going on. I sure think so. Last week, in my sermon, I talked about the views of our founding fathers about our government structure being built on the Bible. It's being built on the power of the gospel. Not because you have to do something, but because we want to do something. You know, it's very interesting. You read the stuff. Jeff, did you Google that like this?
No, I don't know enough about computers to even get my name.
But when you read it, the stuff the founding fathers wrote are not to impose. In fact, Thomas Paine said, democracy imposed from without is the highest form of tyranny. You can't force somebody in. And that's why, look, we're trying to force the world to become democratic. It don't work. Our founding fathers said, it don't work. You can't force somebody. You've got to educate them so they want it. And so when you don't have citizenship, you don't have this kind of stuff, we see the devil getting his foot in the door. We're at a time right now when church attendance is dropping. Of course, ours is dropping because of COVID-19. I told Gene, you know, the Sunday before all this happened, we had 62 in here. Yeah.
Right now in California, churches are still banned from meeting. They can't even have a protest with shoulder-to-shoulder without the
group. Yeah. Well, it's not.
And now he announced, Newsom announced yesterday, no singing.
No singing.
For church.
Our Father. Well, you can tell this is really bothering me. You know, and my sermon is about what does a Christian do? How does he react in a time like this? But I had somebody this week tell me, well, I guess last Friday night, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can believe and just stay at home. Heard that before? Okay. Apostle Paul says that ain't the case. In fact, more than one place in the Bible. But you are, the word that he uses is koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship, but it's the meeting of fellow Christians. Koinonia. It's one of the three building blocks of our faith as Lutherans, is koinonia. So here's what Paul, he tells us how we can respond to this. And I think it's going to make sense of what's going on. And this is verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. You know, it's a Muslim thing, but I think it's true. When you got the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, you know, and they're arguing about, isn't that what's going on inside of us right now? So when I try and do good, you know, the angel, devil's right there with us. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me a captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Because remember, when we get into Galatians 5, he talks about living in the flesh versus living in sin, or versus living in the spirit. Okay? So all the positives, laughter, you know, happiness, joy, gladness come out of being in the spirit. Arguments, destruction, evil come out of the flesh. So when Paul is talking about here, when I'm in my members, I'm in the flesh, I'm in sin. I don't want to be in sin. I want to be in the Spirit of God. 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know, don't hold back, Paul. How do you really feel? And in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Folks, I think the only way this society is going to survive is by turning back to Jesus. It was founded on Jesus. Or it was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. I mean, Jewish people had just as much to start with. You know, so when we're looking at this, what's wrong with that? But how do you do that? Well, it's one of those things that you've got to have it one person. You know, when you hear somebody complaining, you know, saying, what can I do to help? You got to live your Christianity. I was coming out of Walmart the other day, and there was an old lady trying to put her stuff out of the cart. So I just came up and started helping her. And afterwards, well, let me pay you for this. I said, no. I just like doing it. You know, and that's the thing is, we're helping people one. You know me, when I'm at Walmart, the important thing, I talk to people all the time. And I witness to people all the time. You know what my witness is? Jesus Christ has done many great things to me in my life, for me. I bet you have something like that you can share too. 6 seconds. Here's my witness. Missouri Senate a few years ago came out with Mission U. How do you witness in today's world? 13 whole day sessions on a Saturday, teaching you theology. So if someone's got a question, you can answer it. When Paul and Peter went to Galatia, which is in Turkey, and it says they got the message out to all of Asia Minor. You know, that's what, 2.5 million people. Do you think they didn't mission you and train people in theology? Well, theology wasn't even a word. You know what they did? They shared the love of Jesus Christ and his salvation. One of the things, when I studied at the Islamic Center in Tucson, Allah, you know, has got the myriad names of God. You know which isn't there? Love. Well, he does love us because he shows us. His name's not love. Our God's name is love. And so when we show that love, are we acting in our God-like manner? Sure we are. Are we sharing the love of Christ? Sure we are. You know, it doesn't have to be something onerous. Don't be afraid of saying the wrong thing, because you can't. When you say something to somebody, guess who starts working? Holy Spirit. He enters into the heart, and of the other person, not yours, the one who's already there. And that kernel is there. And sometime when it's fed in water, it might start to grow. What is Matthew 28:19? Great Commission. What does it say? Go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ye, therefore, is what it says in the King James. Go ye. Not go pastor. Go ye. Okay? In the South, go y'all do it.
All y'all.
All y'all. Plural. But you see what I mean? You know, it's the thing, it's a state of mind. You know, are you embarrassed by your faith? I've had people, I don't know what to say. What if they don't like it? So if they don't like it, they'll tell you. All right, sorry I bothered you. You know how many times that's happened to me? Once. In Alabama. Of course, in Alabama, I said, you know, what church do you belong to, or what religion are you? Well, I'm Lutheran. Martin Luther King? Is that a cult? those kind of things that make life interesting and fun. You know, but the thing is, do. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Remember, Jesus says, you don't have to succeed, all you got to do is try. You know, and that's the important thing. So the Great Commission is for all Christians. The words of application, to do, about the salvation of Jesus Christ, earned on that cross for us. But most importantly, he did that for the lives of everyone else too, not just the believer. Folks, I know we're all concerned right now, and I think rightfully so. But why do you think Jesus has allowed this to happen? I think it wakes us up, make us act. Remember a couple weeks ago I preached on what William Blake said, the only way for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. You know, what did Luther say? Here I stand, I can do no other. Are we willing to say that? Good question. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, help us to be the good influence for your word and your will in the world. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. We ask for this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.